All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, November 6th of 2024. And looking ahead here, NBA is back after a brief hiatus. And we have a 10-game NBA main slate tonight. We have a 3-game NHL main slate. Hope you guys enjoyed some NHL action yesterday with no NBA. I saw a lot of users were playing it, and I hope you guys had some fun. And with that said, I'm pretty excited for NBA to be back today. So hope you guys are too. But for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there's a link in the description of this video. You'll also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. And then we have our build review show beginning and end of the week. We will have build review tomorrow on Thursday. So there's still time to get signed up for that. If you guys want to get signed up, drop your DK username in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server, and I will add you to the list. Let me know what sport and slate you want me to review, and that should be all I need. All right. So one question in the queue today, and this is a question about a new feature on our beta site that we are testing out. So in case you guys didn't know, we're testing out some updates to Late Swap specifically and how Late Swap works. And one of the things that we are testing out is right now, you know, the way Late Swap is set up in SaberSim, it looks a lot like direct fill, where you can see the lineups, you can go contest by contest, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the new Late Swap is actually going to look like autofill looks, and there are some minor differences about how that works. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to pull up our beta site. We typically don't talk about beta too much on this show because, you know, I want this show to be applicable to everybody here. But since we don't have any other questions, I thought it'd be totally fine to take the time to do this. So let's pull this up. And we're talking about this question here. Can you go over Late Swap unique versus best when it's better to do one or the other? So basically what I'm going to do is I'll just do like a late swap for, I have some entries for the Monday to Thursday NFL slate. So one thing that changes in late swap is that there is no longer a swaps per lineup option. You just put in the size of your pool and then we build lineups accordingly, because some lineups, right, especially on like a Monday to Thursday slate, this is a good example. Maybe I'm going to have some lineups that are mostly like Chiefs Bucks stacks with like one or two players from the Thursday game. Well, those lineups are going to have way less swap options than a lineup that is heavy on the Thursday games and only maybe only had one or two players. So instead of just saying like, hey, every lineup must be swapped 10 times, you know, some lineups are going to be able to be swapped 5. Some lineups are going to be able to be swapped 25, right? And so we're not putting that requirement on the builder in that way. So there's just a pool number here. And then when I kick this off, it would build however many lineups I set it to. So let's just set this to a smaller number. Let's set it to, you know, 1500 just for the sake of time here. And, you know, I'm just going to like leave all this other stuff. All right. So I'm effectively doing a swap here, right? So I'm going to click build. And it's going to start building my lineup. So I honestly, I don't even really use this other side here, the projection side now. We're just going to use the lineup side. Set this build. All right. So now we are in the post swap, right? And the question was in regards to this method option. So if you look at the method in regular SaberSim, you're going to notice that the late swap is grayed out. It just says method late swap, and you can't change it at all. It just says late swap. In the new version, there is going to be two options, late swap unique and late swap best. What this means is that late swap unique works the way that late swap works right now, where it will look at how many entries you have. And even if you have duplicated a lineup, like let's say that you have five single entries, right? And maybe you put the same lineup into all five contests. Well, the way late swap is set up at the moment, it will build you five new lineups, even though the lineups are duplicated. Now, the way that late swap unique works is the same as you're probably used to. The change here is this late swap best option. The late swap best would effectively put the best swap possible into all of your contests. So if you had, you know, one lineup in five contests and the builder determined that one version of your late swap was the best for all five contests, it would put that one lineup into all of them. So what best does, it will not rule out a lineup once it has been used, and it will allow one lineup to be duplicated across multiple contests. So is there a right and wrong time to use this? I don't think so. You know, this is really like preference based, right? Because like one thing we hear a lot is like, hey, you know, I didn't want a unique lineup in all of my entries. I was fine keeping, you know, the one lineup across all of them. Or something like, hey, I'm okay if a lineup grades out for good for one contest and grades out good for another one. I'm okay with that lineup being in both, right? So this kind of solves that problem in late swap. But as far as like a strategy, you know, I would just stick with whatever you're doing pre-build. I think that's like a fine strategy. So if you are entering a unique lineup into every entry, I think it's fine to do that throughout the rest of the night, right? If you are somebody who is duplicating lineups across contests, then I would continue to do that, right? I would continue to use late swap best. As far as thoughts on like changing it, you know, maybe you could do this like toward the end of a slate, right? If it was like an NBA slate and it's like the last game of the night or like the last two games on like a 10 game slate. And you're like, you know what, at this point, I just want like the best possible swap. I think that's okay. Like if you want to switch from unique to best, I don't really have like any guidelines. I don't think we really have any guidelines on that. It's kind of like a personal choice, but those are the differences there. I think the best advice I'd say right now is whatever you use pre-slate for unique rank versus like rank, continue to use, you know, unique or best, whatever one follows whatever your pre-slate decisions were. So that'd be my best advice there. All right. Good question there. Had a little bit of time to talk about some beta stuff, so I was happy to do that. Do have one more question here. I am going to switch back to regular SaberSim for this one. Question says, I heard you say stuff like getting leverage from a player. What should I be looking at in the leverage column? I'm a little confused on what leverage on a player means. Thanks. Yeah, absolutely. Let's dive into this. So just kicked off our build. Only going to build 500 lineups for this demo here. So let's let these lineups run. Isaiah Likely marked out. Interesting. All right. So what do we got here? Let's go to leverage, right? So we're just going to leave Saber score. It's totally cool, whatever sorting metric you're using. So this leverage column, right? If you hover over it, you get this little tooltip says, shows your leverage on the field by calculating your exposure to a player minus projected ownership to that player. So basically what this means, right? So you got to look at the player's ownership, right? So Luka Doncic, 25%. So what we're estimating is that about 25% of the lineups in your contest are going to have Luka. So let's say that we have 100% exposure, right? Which we do. In this example, we have 100% exposure to Luka. So the average player, if they had 20 lineups, he would be in 5 out of 20. So since he's in 20 out of 20 for us, that is positive leverage. That means we are basically rooting for this player, right? When you have more shares than the field does, you want that player to do good. Because, I mean, when they do good, you're going to have more viable lineups that could continue to raise up the standings than the average player in your contest is going to have. So positive leverage is the players that you're effectively betting on to do good, right? You could inversely sort, and it will show you the players you are basically rooting against, right? So Mikal Bridges, we have 0% exposure. He's 17% owned. So that's negative 17% leverage. So here, we want him to do bad, because when he does good, we have no lineups with him that are going to climb up the standings, but other people will, right? So, but when he does bad, it's going to hurt 17% of the lineups in your contest, and it's not going to hurt any of our lineups, right? So that's what leverage is like really telling you. Now, it's important to remember that in regards to leverage, the most neutral thing you can do is match ownership. So if you were, you know, uncertain about a player, right? What you could do is you could match your exposure to their ownership. And what that would effectively be saying is, you know what? I am nervous about this play. I don't know. That way, if they do good, I have as many shares of this player as the field does. Or if they do bad, I lose as many shares as the rest of the field does. And then you are going to go and get leverage elsewhere on the slate. You're like, you know what? This spot, I don't like it. I'd rather go get my leverage somewhere else. So that is an okay approach to take as well. But those are the three ways you got to think about leverage, right? Neutral leverage, positive leverage, negative leverage. It's always going to be that exposure minus your ownership. And something I've talked about in the past, is like me personally, is, you know, people ask, what is like a good exposure band to be between? And I'll usually say something like, you know, if you don't know where to start or you don't have opinions, you know, it's okay to have 2 to 3x of ownership to exposure ratio, right? So like, for instance, if Luka is 25% owned, maybe I want to have him like 50 to 75% of my lineups, right? It's like, well, he's 100% exposed right now. It's like, yes, that's true. This is where it's a good opportunity to start using some min uniques and to start increasing this number. That way your build gets more diversified and you can start to see your exposures change, right? So I probably would have stopped at like 3 uniques here. And Luka came down like ever so slightly, like only one lineup. But a lot of my other players like around him shifted too, right? So we see players closer to that band, like Russell Westbrook's like 2.5x his ownership to exposure. Seems okay. Luka's the only one that's like a little high. Najee Marshall's like right in there. Peyton Watson's in that range. Tatum's in that range. So a lot of these other players like kind of fell good. It could maybe make a little more sense if you have more than 20 lineups you're building, if you're building, you know, 150 set or something like that. So those are like loose guidelines if you really don't know where to start. But you got to make sure that the exposures and leverages make sense to you. So that's what I would be thinking about in regards to leverage. But good question there. So we hit on that beta question, talking about some leverage here. No more questions at the moment. So let's do a little bit of a build demo here, right? So making 2 small adjustments to projections and then kicking this build off. I would be building as many lineups as your plan allows. And then after that, right, I'd be getting into the post build here. Now, if you are on like starter, pro, light, I'd be sticking with Saber score. Always set your Saber score entry-wise, which is this latter half, to whatever contest you're optimizing for. So typically for me, it's like the way I think about it is biggest entry fee or or like most entry fees or the biggest contest that I have in my set. So either one of those should work. If you're on Ultimate, you can go and set up a contest sim at this point. So let's just say I'm playing the $3 20 max. Looks like a pretty good contest today. And I would go back to my build. I would go to run contest sim. I'm going to kick this off. And everything else looks good at the moment. Something that we've talked about pretty regularly here is making sure that, you know, you're playing well-projected lineups. So what I would do is go and set up a lineup filter that says, show me lineups with projection greater than, and then you would make up a number, right? And the goal here is to get about 10% of our lineups into the trash, something that we've seen be good in contest flashback, just making sure that we have a nice little projection floor with our sets. So I'm going to try 270. And that's perfect, right? 85 lineups in the trash gets us to like 10 to 20% in the trash, which is fine. Another thing I could do here is add another filter for ROI greater than zero. If you have the contest sims, that's another good one. And now we've trimmed out a certain amount of lineups here, right? So we're down to 380 from the 500 that we started with. And now I would start to increase my Minioniques, right? So noting a couple things, I like to have an average projection aggregate metric, like to have an average ROI aggregate metric. So I'm going to note these two values as I start to increase my Minioniques. So we were at 288.2 average projection, and where were we at? We were at, let's check this. We're at 284.2 average projection. We're at 141.7 average ROI. So then now we're going to start to move these around. And three is kind of good for me, right? We drop like 2 points in projection, like 10 to 15% ROI. I probably wouldn't go any further than that. So that seems good to me. The only thing that you have to decide is, are you okay with the exposures and leverages that you're seeing? And if the answer is yes, then cool, you can stop. If this is still too much exposure to any one player, you could either one, keep going, or you could just make a manual adjustment to that one player specifically that's bothering you, and just accept the changes to aggregate metrics from there. But aside from that, right, I think that's a good first step here. It is a very big slate today. You know, I think it's like 10 games on the slate. So I would just be keeping an eye out for news and making sure like you keep an eye on the injury report. So Basketball Monster News Dashboard is a great resource to check out. And they'll tell you like who's questionable, who's out. And, you know, that news is happening pretty much in real time. So very good free resource there. If you guys need access to that, I'll drop it here in the chat for you guys. So what do we got? We got LaMelo questionable today. I don't know how important Podzimski is. AD, Rui, Dylan Brooks, the Pelicans, Zach LaVine, Huerter. Some pretty interesting ones here, right? So this is like a good resource if you guys need a resource for news. So I just dropped that in the YouTube chat. But that's what I'd be keeping my eye on, right? So you guys do that. You guys late swap as needed. And I think you guys will be on your way. And then the next day, right, come into the contest tab, go review your lineups in contest flashback and see how you're grading out, right? So that is the SaberSim way. You guys can always check out our videos in Saber School. SaberSim 101 here, right? What I was just referring to was the reviewing past slates. So this is always a really good place to start. If you guys need ideas about building a good process here, I would start with the beginner's guide, and then you guys can go through the rest of these videos. So check them out. But we are all caught up with questions here at the moment. So appreciate everybody tuning in. I will be back tomorrow for office hours and our build review show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.